Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 20. And in the book of Isaiah, you know, of all the, would take the whole Bible, if you come to a point in life that the government or somebody with the authority that could do that, and say, well, you know, we're doing things now a little different. And I'll be honest with you, I've been glad that they didn't have no 3 and 4 terms of the president. If that's the case, then we probably would have had Obama back. And this right here would have probably, he would have probably got some of this in effect and tried. But what I'm trying to say is that the whole Bible is 66 books. 66 books of the whole Bible. Now, 29 of the books are in the Old Testament. 27 is in the New Testament. And the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, just like the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. 66 books. Book of Isaiah got 66 chapters. And if you had authority, if you had people come up with authority and come and said, well, preacher, you can't, today you're not going to be able to take, you can take your Bible to church. But now, which other people, your congregation, they'll be there, but they won't bring the Bible. And we're seeing that today.
Oh, yes.
look at some of these churches. I mean, they're going to be there spending $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 for a great big screen and then a computer and all of that. And they're doing it for one reason only. So people will not have to bring the Bible. And if the people don't bring the Bible to church and open it up and see what the preacher, what he's reading from, how are they going to be an influence on anyone? How can their life change anybody? It came. But if it was one book in the Bible, they come up and told me, said, the whole 66 books in the Bible, you can pick one book in the Bible, and that book will be printed. That's the only book that you'll be able to read. The only book that you'll be able to read. Which book would it be? Which book would it be for you? Which book would it be for me? Well, for me, it would be the book of Isaiah. And the reason for that is because the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. And each chapter is an individual book of the Bible. And not only that, you have 29 of the first 29 chapters in the book of Isaiah that deals with the Old Testament. And you've got 27 chapters that deals with the New Church, the New Testament Church. So I have the Bible right at my fingertips. I may not have this one, but I've got the Bible, which the book of Isaiah, if you go and you read it, and if you'll meditate on it, you'll come up with the same question, you come up with the same answer that's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So the book of Isaiah is the book that I would rather have than any other book in the Bible. Even the book of Psalms, the book of John, the book of Acts, and the book of Revelation. All the other books, Brother Henry, Isaiah. Because Isaiah tells you something, just like the other rest of the book of the Bible. I want to try to bring a message with this thought, with the thought of having what the Lord would rather have us to do than anything else. Which I know we have other things we have to do to live. We have to work until we can retire, and then what little Social Security we'll get, then we can buy some more work. We have that. We have a house that we've got to provide for to keep us out of the weather, keep us out of the rain, keep us out of the snow, the cold weather, and also the heat. And two, we've got to also remember that we have the Lord, that things that He wants us to do, that we need to do them. I started to say we have to do them. No, He don't put that kind of pressure on us. We don't have to. I don't have to do anything. But the Lord wants me to do some things for Him to where He can be happy. You know, I hate to see individuals that walks around with a frown on their face. You can tell that they, when you see that, you can come to one reason, one thing only, is that their heart, their life is troubled. Things is going on in the life that we know nothing about. The only one knows anything about is them and the Lord. But we must put ourselves in a position where when we do go visit somebody, or when we go out here and start talking to somebody, that we're not judgmental. We don't judge them the way they look. We don't judge them in the way they keep the home. We don't judge them in the things that they have sitting around in the house. We don't judge them because when we go to the house, we'll steal maybe a six-pack that's on the kitchen table. Or you go to the countertop and you can see a filthy look. And you can see where dope has been smoked or something like that. We're not supposed to be judgmental to them. But what do? We may not say nothing, but we think it. We shouldn't even think it. Because what we think has an effect on our life toward them. It goes back, whatever. But individuals like that, they don't know nothing else to do. They don't know who else to obey. They don't have no idea who to love. It's all about self. They want to be so self-absorbed that they cannot do anything without having people judge me and judge you. Because if we judge other people, we don't have no right to say anything at all to someone that's judging me. If I'm judging them, I have no right to judge them. But if I do, who's the worst between you two? Who is the worst between you two? I'll tell you. The worst one is going to be me. Because I know better. I'm saved. I know what God's word says. I know what God has taught me. I know what God has led me to. And all the individuals that the Lord has allowed me to be able to win and speak to about Him. But you've got other people out here that don't kid me with it. They said, oh man, I wouldn't go to his church if he asked me and told me he'd pay me $1,000 if I'd come this Sunday. I wouldn't go to his church because he's too good of my own. He's going to be judging me as soon as I walk in the door. And he'd be in the hell I am up there trying to sing anything with the congregation. And then if something does happen and I happen to step out and go to the altar, what is that going to accomplish? The only thing that's going to accomplish is one thing, and one thing only. For them to be able to get up, come to the altar, and knowing that I have judged them, I have belittled them, but yet now, they come and hear me preach. And I'm up there talking about the Lord and how much I love the Lord, how much I love going around witnessing and doing things for the Lord. What's he going to think about me sitting back in the pew? He's just a good, good boy. When's he here? Be something a well workout. He's too good. He's just like rusted electrons today. But you know, we have to be mindful of the things that we say, the places we go, and our character. The character of an individual, the most important thing about an individual. So see, a character, I can look at you and I can see that each one of you has some character about yourself. You look at things different than what the world looks at. You look at it different than what I look at it. That's the reason we have the makeup of the people that we have. Because there's not a church, not a group of people will always think and end up saying the same thing to get the same thing accomplished. No. You're going to have an idea. You're going to have an idea. I'm going to have an idea. Bill, Donna, Shelby, Nancy, we're all going to have different ideas. But it's how we get to the point of bringing that idea to life, to where people can look at the ideas that we have. And y'all know what my ideas are. Every one of you knows exactly what I would love to happen to him. Even with the shape that I'm in. I'd love to be able to come in here one Sunday morning and pull up and be on the other side of the highway and get ready to turn and come up here. I would love to see it where somebody that knows us, somebody that knows the Lord, has went out there and fixed the parking lot, dug it all up, and went in and put gravel and all of that, and then a new blacktop on it. I would love to see that. The individual that does it, they do not know how much the Lord will reward them for that. See, the Lord rewards us every day. He rewards me with my eyesight, that I can come and I can see and I can know who I'm speaking to. Also, He rewards me because of my hearing, and the things that I hear, and the things that I look at. He rewards His own. If you do not love Him, there's no reward coming. But if you love Him, He's going to give you a reward. Well, see, in the book of Genesis, God had not even thought about a woman when He created Adam. But it come about that Adam was so lonely. Yes, he was talking to the Lord. And the Lord gave him some things to do. I mean, you talk about Einstein, the greatest mind that the world has ever been able to talk to or hear about or anything. The greatest mind of all is what the people, what we say the individual is with the greatest mind. And it's Einstein. We have some other great people that does so much more. But you may tell you who had you. The mind of a genius, a mind that he could come up and name something, and that would be it. Because see, God went to Adam before his helpmate was ever created, somebody. But he went to Adam, and he asked Adam. He said, "Now, Adam, I'm gonna give you a chore to do, because I know that you've been talking to me, and we've been communicating together, and all that, and you want to." You want to be able to do more because you just don't like to be doing nothing. That's what we should be. We should say to ourselves, "I want to do more for you, Lord, than do nothing." See, the Lord will bless us in that realm. He will bless us in that fashion. Well, see, God went to Adam and he told Adam, said, "Adam, I can see it in your face where you're lonely. And I can also see it in your face too that you love me. I can also see it in your face that I don't have to worry about you." So yes, I'm going to give you something, and it's going to take you to do it. I don't want to do it. The Lord Jesus does not want to do it. This will be left up to you. And you know what it is? The animals the foul of the hour, the fishes that swim in the river, the oceans, and around. He named every last one of them. Every last one of them he named. But you know something, I'm so thankful that the Lord, my God, knew who to give that choice to, and that can't you see me? Me and my wife go home today at lunch. And the two animals that we have there, which is two dogs, one named Nelson, another named Winston. They usually meet us at the door every time we come in. But what if we got to the house and we was looking at these two puppies where we've named them? What would we think about if I come in and call Nelson and say, I'm in Winston. And then they do. They do come. But what would it mean that if they come, what would they look like? Are they gonna look like that monkey? Are they going to look like something else in the wild? We need to remember that God, when He chose us to give out all the names, the different type of animals, the dogs, the cats, the horses, the mules, and the donkeys, and the cows, and the calves, and all of them. Yeah, he could have took one of his guests and said, I tell you what, I like this, but I kind of talk to them a little bit. And here's old Billy goes. Choose up everything. But I'm a little partial with this. So I'm gonna put your name on the benefits. How foolish would we look if we looked on them that way? The Lord, He knows exactly what His plan is. His plan just did not come up. And just did not come up on the spur of the moment and say, well, I'm going to create this. No, He's had it all planned out years before. He had it all planned out for the Lord Jesus and what the Lord would end up doing. The Lord would end up leaving the Father's home, and He would leave His Father. Like the prodigal son over in the book of Luke, Well, the prodigal son left his father. And he told him, he said, now, I just want to watch that. I want some wild oats now. He said, Dad, if you don't mind, can you give me what's coming to me? What I'd get if I stayed here? And his father did. Just like the father did for Jesus. He did the same thing for him. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord Jesus, when he was there hanging on the cross at Calvary, between heaven and earth, when he was in that position, he knew he was in a position exactly where he needed to be. He knew that. And he did not ask for them to allow him to come down from the cross. Because he could have plainly said, y'all are wrong. Y'all have convicted me of wrongdoing, and I did not do it. I'm innocent. You know why they crucified him? You know why they hung him on the cross and why they crucified him? Because people like me, you, and them, everybody else, we the one who put him on the cross. And after we put him on the cross, we washed our hands of it. So now, you defend for yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ and two malefactors on him, hanging on the cross. Three crosses. One on the right is the Lord when you come into your paradise. Take this with you. I know it was exactly the very word it said. Take me with you. Remember me and help me day by day. Then the other male fact on the left side, he said he reminds you of these arrogant type people. They're so arrogant that they don't know even what they're saying. But the other male factor that was on his left side said, Jesus, if who you say you are, if you are that man that you say that you are, and other people have said you are, come down from the cross. You don't have to stay there. Come on down from the cross. Prove to me. I want you to prove to me that you're God. The Lord Jesus said, He was telling that malefactor, he says, to take my life. I will be hung, and I would die. I will be buried, and on the third day, I will come forth. And I will come forth because of you. See, he went to Calvary. He gave his life for us. I mean, he didn't ask my permission. He didn't ask yours. But he gave his life that we could be better individuals and have a happier life. That's him going to the cross. We put him there. Who brought him down from the cross? Placed him in a grave for 3 days. And on the third day, he arose. Who did he arise for? Me and you. Me and you. And the ones that he was risen from the grave. Because if he was being risen from the grave, and he was the Father's Son, look at what else he could do. I mean, he is so good to us. He is so good to us. He's been so good to me. He's been a blessing. I can't complain. Oh, I do sometimes. I'm like everybody else. I do complain. I do have pity for them. But I shouldn't have a pity for you. There's nothing there. I need to have a love fest. But all the love will go to God. I say, you've been so good to me. I don't deserve his pardon. I don't deserve this book right here that I can take and hold in my hand and I can look at it and I can read it. And as I read it, what I read, I don't understand. Don't know exactly what it means. The Lord told me one time, he says, you don't have to stay there. Just go read the verses. Go on and read the verses. Because he says over in John chapter 14:26, he said, but the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. He will bring all things to your remembrance. Everything that we've learned, everything that we've read in the past, he will bring it up to me. He will bring it up to you. Anything that we've read and we studied and we could not get an answer then. And the reason I could not get an answer is because I was not in that situation. I didn't need the answer. I did not need the answer. He's so good to me. I mean, and I'm going to spend eternity with him. I'm going to be with him forever. and forever and ever, and for eternally, eternally, eternally. How about you? Are you going to spend eternity with it? You know how long eternity is?
Forever.
How long is forever? Eternity. And you know, another thing that I've learned, and I've been, you know, recently, I mean, I'm minding you of it, maybe the Lord just opened the door for me to understand it then. But one thing that, the Lord said to me, he says, Donnie, he says, anytime you preach, anytime you preach your own heaven, you speak about eternity. And you teach about and preach about the joy that's going to be there waiting for you. But Donna, also, when you preach, you know, preach on heaven, that's what you need to preach about. But when you preach on hell, you need to let the people know what hell is and what it's about. How long will they spend eternity? I mean, how long will they spend in hell? They're going to spend in hell eternity. They're going to spend in hell forever. See, God's not no respect. I mean, God does not treat someone this way and then someone, this group, another way. See, he treats us the same way. He treats us the same way because he's given me a place that I can go to and I'm going to spend eternity. And not only that, when I sit down at the Lord's Supper table that night, or that day, or whatever. You think I'm going to have 10 or 15 other people coming and serving me and bringing the food out from the kitchen there in heaven and serving me? Nope. It's going to be one servant that's going to be serving me, you, and all the other individuals going to heaven. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's going to serve us. And I'm going to tell you, he's not going to bring out just a little plate. Because when he brings it out, and when he brings the food out, you can bet my bottom dollar on it that you could take the platter or whatever he brings it out on, because everybody's going to be using the same type of platter. But what's on the plate? What the Lord Jesus Christ put there for me and for you. He didn't give me one piece of one ear of corn, one grain of corn more than he did the one next to me. He didn't give me two less. And the one beside of it, he's got the one. God counts everything. When we serve Him, God, when we go out in the highway and the byway, and when we're telling people, He wants us to tell the people with honesty and with trust and with a care that only He can give us. Father, I thank You today for this blessed day that, Father, You set aside for us, if I were to come in and fellowship together, fellowship around Your Word. Father, I do thank You for every word You give me this morning. Lord, and I pray, God, it will settle on people's hearts here. The people will just automatically start speaking to someone. That's the only way that we're going to ever get the church back to what it used to be. To where you could have a church that comes in and wants to bless the Lord. We don't need to have a church where people come in with jealousy, with things that they want. Father, go with these people, we pray this week. Lead them to that one that You can just say, been a long time since I've seen You. Just want to tell You how much I love You. We don't have to say much to people. That right there could take that person that has a troubled heart, and they could leave right then and say, I was blessed. It's been a long time. Long time since I've seen Him. And here, another month, I was thinking about it. And I didn't even know where to live. There's nothing like that. So we need to be mindful of what God wants us to do, not what I want to do. Not what Faith Baptist Church congregation wants to do. Father, we need to do everything that we can possible to upkeep our bodies, to upkeep the house, upkeep of the lawn, upkeep everything that You're about. And Lord, we just want to thank You. We want to love You. And thank You, Father, for taking our sin, my sin, and the other people's sins here. Thank You, Father, for taking them and casting them as far as the east is from the west. We love You today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.